Hello and welcome to the Beyond Biotech podcast number 66. I'm Jim Cornell and this is the weekly LaBiotech podcast, and it's another one being produced slightly early because I'm on the road again and in the air with a couple of trips to Manchester first. That's the one in the UK, not New Hampshire, although funnily enough I've been to the one in New Hampshire more than the one I have in the UK. The next day I'm headed to an event in Cologne, although because I was a little bit late getting booked, I'm staying in Bonn. I could have stayed in Cologne, but when the price for 3 days in a hotel is more than my monthly mortgage, it's time to look a little further afield for accommodation. I do enjoy going to Cologne. I think I'm even going to catch a hockey game while I'm there. The really good news for me is that it's a direct flight and it's not a 6 a.m. one. Today is October the 2nd, or it will be when you listen to this, if you listen the day it goes live, and October the 2nd is Noodle Day, the extremely funny zero inbox day, as if that will ever be a reality, and it's also National German American Day, so wie geht's y'all. It's also Kids Music Day. My son is embarrassed, I think, that I used to be in a band. He refuses to watch any of the live videos of me playing and singing. Maybe he's just a good judge of music. On the science front, it's World Cerebral Palsy Day and the day in 1956 when the announcement was made that the oral polio vaccine was ready for mass testing. I'm not sure if it's strictly science, but it's also the day in 1906 that the company that created the Etch-a-Sketch was founded. Definitely not a modern toy. I think that I got one of those for Christmas and maybe played with it twice. It's also the date in 1868 when nickel plating was patented. Let's move from 1868 to 2023 and today's podcast subject. You may well have heard of siRNA, there's mRNA, and just plain old RNA. But there's also tRNA, also known as transfer RNA. And that's what we're talking about today with the CEO of Alterna, Michelle Werner. So I wonder if first then you could tell me a bit about the origins of the company.
Yeah, so Alterna is an exciting startup biotech company. It actually launched in 2021, but it really started by ourselves at Flagship Pioneering asking the question back in 2017, what if we could alter the protein translation process by using transfer RNA or tRNA? And from there, asking that basic question with our founding scientific team, we then started to pursue the first, I'd say, set of proof of concept or reasons to believe experiments in order to see if the idea had merit. And then that's really what led to the launch of Alterna ultimately in 2021. And I came on board in April of 2022 as the CEO, but still work very, very closely with the founding scientific team, of which we still have those members as part of Alterna and sitting on our board. It's a flagship pioneering company. Flagship Pioneering is a venture creation company that has launched a number of different bio platforms over the course of the decades that it's been in existence. And Alterna is the one that's all about tRNA, hence the name Alterna.
You said about you coming on as CEO, you still have quite the background before you came in. Could you maybe give me a potted history of your background as well?
Sure. So I've been in the drug development business for over two decades now. I'm mostly focused in late stage development, but commercialization roles in a variety of different companies in big pharma. Recently, Novartis, but AstraZeneca and Bristol-Myers Squibb prior to that time, and have had a number of different experiences, both in-country operational roles, but then also global, more long-term strategic focused roles. And I've had the opportunity to launch a number of novel mechanisms in my career. I've probably launched over a dozen different medicines. Many of them have turned into mega blockbusters. So it's really been a privilege to be able to work on so many tremendous medicines that are making a difference for patients. Much of that, I'd say, has been in the oncology setting. And I made a purposeful, I'd say, choice to transition my career more towards the genetic disease area in the recent years. A lot of that happened for personal reasons because my family has been touched. I have a son that has a rare genetic disease. And when we found out about his diagnosis, actually back in 2020, it made me reflect a lot on the career that I have had, but then also what I want to do for the next 20 years. And I really want to make as much of a difference in the rare genetic disease space in the next 20 years as the small role that I've played in the last 20 years, advancing some of those modern technologies that are used very frequently in oncology in today's world.
Was that the motivation for taking on Alterna?
Absolutely. So when I was first introduced to Alterna, this was back in 2021, I guess, I immediately sort of appreciated and understood the potential of the tRNA platform technology that Alterna is leading. And, you know, just in principle, right, just conceptually, what we're doing, you know, without getting into too many of the details, is we're engineering tRNAs. And in the first instance, we're engineering tRNAs to read through a specific type of mutation called a premature termination codon or a nonsense mutation. But what's really unique about the tRNA is that it has this opportunity to use an engineered tRNA to address hundreds, if not thousands, of different diseases, rather than using the conventional approach of drug development that we've been doing in today's world, which is a disease by disease type strategy, or even in the genetic disease, it's like gene by gene. We're trying to tackle these problems gene by gene. And, you know, there are over 6,000 of these different genetic diseases. There's a lot. And when you're trying to tackle them disease by disease or gene by gene, you can imagine the numbers of lifetimes it would take, Jim, for us and 1,000 other people, right, to figure out how to make a dent in all of that. And by just thinking about how we can approach that problem very differently, not with a disease by disease strategy, but actually finding the common mutations that we see across all of those thousands of diseases and addressing those from a specific mutation perspective, it takes a very complex problem of 6,000 diseases and simplifies them into a few universal diseases that can be tackled. And the universal tool, we believe, is the tRNA. And that's what's so exciting about it. So yes, when I was first introduced to Alterna back a couple of years ago now, I really was so enthralled with this idea of looking at the patients in a very different way and simplifying a very complex problem, and one in a way that I believe can uniquely position it to make a tremendous benefit for patients. And that's something that, you know, resonates with me personally.
There are so many different companies out there that stand on the shoulders of what's been before. What you're doing is unique to the point that how did it come about in the first place? Or is it based on the discovery? How did that all come together?
Yeah, it's interesting. You use an expression that I actually use quite often, which is, I do believe that we at Alterna stand on the shoulders of giants. So that's exactly right, right? We might be the pioneers in the tRNA space, right? The first that's really paving this road, but it doesn't come from, you know, starting from ground zero. There's a tremendous amount of advancements in the RNA field when we look back over the last decade. I mean, just look how far we've come with mRNAs, especially having now technologies available in this space, you know, certainly most commonly the mRNA vaccines that have been used for COVID. We stand on the shoulders of really understanding the progress that's been made for mRNA, but not just mRNA. There are siRNAs as well that have made tremendous progress with, you know, medicines that are approved for certain indications in that setting. And by observing some of these giants who have also started from nothing and being able to build those platforms and those technologies and advancing them to commercialized assets has been an inspiration for us. So we look at what those companies have done, the complexities that had to have been tackled, the manufacturing, you know, challenges that had to be overcome, some of the advancements from a chemistry perspective that had to have been achieved. We use all of that as the place where we begin. Yes, of course, maybe nobody has applied any of that to the tRNA setting, and we may be amongst the first to do so, but we do so already with a basis of knowledge in some of these other, I'd say, related areas that have really helped us along the way. So it is always daunting to do something for the first time and when nobody has ever done it before, but at least we can demystify that ambiguity to a certain degree by taking the learnings from these giants who have been successful ahead of us, which is a nice place to start.
For sure. I wonder if you could maybe explain some of the, you mentioned siRNA, there's a lot of different kinds of RNA. I think initially people knew what RNA was, and then because of COVID, a lot more people understand mRNA, but could you maybe run through some of those differences and how tRNA is relevant in treating disease?
Yeah, well, maybe I'll just start by taking a step back and let's talk about what a tRNA is, because many of us may have heard about a tRNA from our kind of introduction to biology class many, many years ago. But then, you know, perhaps it's been forgotten because it has been slightly, you know, overlooked as one of those possible arenas to explore. And I can talk a little bit about that too. So the transfer RNA plays a critical, critical role in the protein translation process. So when we think about how a protein gets formed, right, it starts with a DNA, which is transcribed into an mRNA, and then it's translated into a protein. So what happens on the mRNA is we have these three letter codes that all code for an individual amino acid. And then the ribosome, which is the translational machinery within the cell, reads the mRNA. And inside the ribosome actually is the tRNA. And the tRNA has an anticodon on it that precisely matches the code of the mRNA, right? So the three-letter code on the mRNA, there's a three-prong anticodon on the tRNA. And the tRNA interprets the instructions of the mRNA of what amino acid is being coded for, and then samples the cytosol to find that correct amino acid, and then literally transfers it to the growing polypeptide chain as part of that process. So you can see the critical role that it plays with, and you can imagine without a tRNA, there just would never be a protein because of the function that it plays. Now, what's super interesting in the world of genetic diseases, as you know, there are many different types of errors that can occur. These errors are the mutations. The code isn't always correct, and sometimes these mutations occur, and that messes up with those instructions for understanding what amino acids should be next in the translation process. Now, the first area that we're going after, I mentioned, is what's called a premature termination codon, so a nonsense mutation. What happens there is that the code for an amino acid has, you know, one specific error, and it changes from a code for amino acid to coding for a stop. That's why it's called a premature termination codon. That means that that translation process stops too early. And the result of that is a truncated or a shortened protein product, or maybe even an absent protein. It doesn't exist at all. And that's what causes disease. Now, 10% of the time that there's a mutation that occurs, it's a nonsense mutation. It's a premature termination codon. So in the world of all the different patients that have a genetic disease, that's 300 million patients in the world, 10% of those, or 30 million of those patients, would have a mutation that stems from one of these premature termination codons. We actually call that stop codon disease, which we can come back to in a minute when we think about how we're exploring. Now, you mentioned, you know, trying to understand a little bit about, you know, the differences between different types of technologies, be them mRNA or siRNA or tRNAs. What I will share with you is that I actually believe that, you know, all of these types of technologies are really trying to tackle, you know, this world of genetic diseases and protein dysregulation at the end of the day. And there are going to be many different ways in which we need to tackle those types of conditions. Now, specifically when it comes to mRNA, actually with any of these types of technologies, what I think is so unique about tRNAs is this is the only genetic modality that has the ability to be used across different diseases. And that's because that role of the tRNA is exactly the same, no matter which gene is involved, no matter which protein is being encoded for. In fact, it does the same job, no matter where that mutation is in the mRNA. So that's why we call it this very universal tool. That is not the case with mRNA. It's not the case with siRNA. It's not the case with gene therapies or gene editing technologies. They don't have the ability to have this universal application across different diseases, which is the thing that really, really excites us about. Maybe the other thing that I would say as well that sets tRNA apart is also because of its, a couple of things, its size. So for example, tRNA is roughly 76 nucleotides, can be a little bit more depending on which tRNA it is, but it's still pretty small. That means compared to an mRNA, which can be very, very long, if there are long proteins that are involved, it has much more flexibility when it comes to the formulation or the delivery of it because of its tight, small size and the fact that it can be folded into a small structure, which gives it a bit more flexibility in terms of how we can ultimately deliver it. So that gives you a little bit of idea about some of the differences that we see between these technologies, Jim.
And you mentioned how the tRNA works. How does your technology apply to that?
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're engineering these tRNAs. So in the state where we have these nonsense mutations, that there are no natural tRNAs that can bind to a premature termination codon mutation. And that's why that translation process terminates too early. So what we're doing at Alterna is we're engineering these tRNAs that can precisely bind to these premature termination codons, understand what the instructions should have been for which amino acid, and then carry on its responsibilities of transferring that correct amino acid to the growing polypeptide chain. So the result then is that full-length functional protein, because the translation process continues as it typically would, and that full-length functional protein is precisely what patients need to address their disease. So that's how we are bringing forward our technology in the first instance. And when we think about the clinical applications, we're thinking about our technology being able to use broadly across stop codon disease. So as I mentioned, stop codon disease are those 30 million patients with a genetic disease that stems from a stop codon. Now, this encompasses thousands of different diseases within there. And we believe our engineered tRNAs can be applied across all of those different types of patients, which is truly exciting and unique.
Can it tackle other genetic diseases? And if so, would it be the same approach that you would use, or do you need to develop a different approach for each one?
So there will likely be multiple approaches. And what we're thinking about with our platform, it's a true platform-based company. So first, we're doing these engineered tRNAs for stop codon disease, for these specific types of mutations. There are also other types of mutations, such as missense and frame shift mutations. And we do think that engineered tRNAs may have the opportunity to address patients with those types of mutations as well. It's early days, but those are things that we're exploring too. But then even beyond that, actually, we are looking at tRNA pools, meaning the sort of whole ecosystem of tRNAs that exist in the area of translation, but then also tRNA fragments. When a tRNA degrades, it degrades into different fragments. And so we're exploring both the role of fragments and the role of pools to be able to address an even greater breadth of different patients with different types of diseases. Again, that's further exploration for us, but we think that's what, the tRNA biology is so vast and exciting that it can be applied in many, many, many different ways. And that's what's, we find very fascinating, at least.
In terms of the treatment itself, obviously you don't just give somebody a little piece of tRNA and say, swallow this. How does it work in terms of treatment?
It would be nice if it were that easy. So what I would say is, as with all oligonucleotides, which are engineered tRNAs are, all oligonucleotides are dependent on being able to deliver to the tissues of interest or the cells of interest, and therefore they need a delivery vehicle in order to be able to help them get there. Now, we're exploring all kinds of different delivery vehicles in order for us to be able to address many different patients with many different diseases that affect many different tissues. But we do anticipate these, at least in the first iteration, to be intravenous infusions that patients would take. And also with these technology, we do believe that this is something that would be chronic diseases delivered in a chronic capacity with a certain period of time between doses. All of that still has to be determined as to what that dose schedule looks like moving forwards. But we think that there are also some advantages to that. I mean, there are also technologies for genetic diseases that are one-time technologies, which come with certain advantages, of course, but also certain disadvantages, meaning perhaps some permanent off-target effects or maybe not being able to redose depending on what delivery technology was used. But we do think when we're talking about chronic diseases, chronic dosing makes a lot of sense in order to be able to provide longevity of benefit for our patients long-term.
Is this something that would be a monotherapy, or would it be used in conjunction with other treatments?
It's to be determined, actually. And I think some of that might be dependent on, the specific diseases that we're talking about. We do think that, our technologies can be used to add on to current standards of care, or maybe to bridge between one therapy and another therapy. But that this is tRNA can be used across multiple different modalities as well. But we have a lot of work to do in terms of exploring not just what the dose and frequency of administration might be, but then also what the implications are for concomitant treatment, let's say, with other types of technologies. So those are all exciting questions for us to be answering over the course of the next phase of Alterna.
And does the stage that the disease is at make any difference, or is it a case of the earlier that you were able to treat something, the better the diagnosis, or is it regardless of where on the pathway somebody is, you can make a difference?
I think in the world of genetic diseases, and I think it depends, right? So I think, and by the way, as a parent, right, to a child with a genetic disease, I absolutely believe that it's certainly with my son's condition, having an early diagnosis, having an early opportunity to provide intervention early is beneficial, because then you can make sure that, people have the right care, even if whether or not it's a treatment or if it's supportive care, in order to be able to help manage symptoms and to limit progression. Now, I do think that we've learned over time that being able to provide therapeutic interventions earlier has better long-term outcomes for patients across the board, because if you have the ability to ameliorate symptoms or to limit progression, you obviously want to limit that progression at the earliest stages possible before, more damage can be done to those individuals. Certain technologies may not be able to be used very early. So, for example, there is a question mark around, gene therapies or AAV technologies in particular, about whether or not they should be used very, very early. Part of that is because, you may need, dependent on a little bit of how old the patient is, the size of that patient, how affected they are by their disease. It may not be as easy to sort of see the benefits of those. But for our technology, I don't know if I envision limitations in terms of age. But of course, there's a process that you need to go through. You have to get to, in order to get indications from a pediatric perspective, you need to go through certain clinical and regulatory steps in order to demonstrate the safety benefit profile in pediatrics as well as in adults. And we see that as, something that we will be working through with health authorities in time.
You gave a presentation recently at the ASGCT. Could you tell me a little bit about that and how well it was received, given that this is such a new potential treatment?
Absolutely. So I think it was very well received. So we gave a presentation on a number of different things, but first and foremost, we showed publicly for the first time that we have demonstrated our engineered tRNAs working in an in vivo setting, so in a transgenic mouse setting, where we were able to demonstrate significant protein rescue in that particular model. We also then demonstrated the importance of optimizing this tRNAs for both the sequence of the nucleotides, as well as the chemical modifications that we put on those nucleotides. And those modifications are really important because this is how we help turn our molecules into medicines by enhancing for certain clinical therapeutic properties like stability and activity, for example. And we also gave data that demonstrated our ability to use our engineered tRNAs in over 25 different disease models, across 14 different diseases, across 7 different locations where those mutations occur. So with this whole idea that our tRNAs can be used across many, many different diseases, both the in vivo and the in vitro data now is suggesting that that can be true with our technology. So all of that has been very exciting. It was very well received. I think, you know, we've had a number of, you know, outreach from media, as well as investors, as well as actually patient communities interested in our technology as a result of that presentation. So it's been really exciting to be able to talk more broadly about some of the cool stuff that we've been doing over the last few years.
And where are you at currently with the process?
Yeah, so you may have also seen that we just announced our Series B raise. So we had the opportunity to raise $109 million as part of that. And we brought in a number of top tier biotech investors on this journey. And we're really delighted and fortunate to have their support. Now, we'll be using the proceeds from that Series B to advance the most advanced molecules coming out of our pipeline towards the clinic. So we're at a very exciting, I'd say, inflection point for Alterna, building on, you know, years of progress for our platform development, but now moving towards having pipeline assets that can start advancing towards the clinic and hopefully be able to make an impact on patients.
How easy do you think this is going to be to roll out? And obviously, one of the biggest questions is always cost in terms of making things cost effective.
You know, I think that there's nothing about what we're doing that's easy. And I think that if it were easy, it probably would have been done before, maybe years ago. So I want to just say, like, I think the fact that we've made so much progress during this time has been great. I do think that, you know, we're doing something brand new. And so while we have a tremendous team that I would say is uniquely skilled to be able to deliver on the promise of tRNA for patients, we have the benefit of that at Alterna, which I think is a massive, massive asset for us. But there are going to be lots of things that we learn along the way. So I think we have a really strong plan in place that we're eager to be executing on and to make additional progress. But as with all drug development, challenges will come up. And when they do, what I would say is I think that we've got the right people and the right tools in place to figure out how we're going to navigate those challenges as and when they arise. But I think that this is a very sophisticated area, but we have everything that we need, I think, in order for us to be able to take this to the next stage.
Speaking of some of those challenges, what about regulatory issues? Have you started on that path yet?
You know, I think that anytime a company starts pivoting towards thinking about their first entry into the clinic, of course, regulatory is a key consideration. I mean, the great news for us is that for the last year and a half, we have somebody on our leadership team who comes right from one of the health authorities, from the FDA, and has a great line of sight into how the health authorities, how the regulators are thinking about these types of technologies. It's interesting if you hear the likes of the EMA or the MHRA or the FDA talk about the challenge of tackling rare diseases over the course of the last year or two. We're hearing from them this approach of we need a many diseases at a time type strategy in order for us to really make a meaningful difference for the rare disease community. What's great for us at Alterna to hear that from them is like we see that the tRNA is uniquely positioned to be able to do that. And in fact, our development strategy and our regulatory strategy is all designed to tackle this at many diseases at a time. So we think our technology and our approach is very much being matched by the narrative that we're hearing externally, not to mention the expertise that we have in-house who is helping us build this approach. And so we think it's, you know, the time is right for us to be able to navigate those waters. And we're very much looking forward to making progress on that. And when we do, we'd love to be able to talk about that then.
Exciting times when you're at the beginning of something like this. So yeah, what are the next steps?
Yeah, I mean, so the next steps are for us to continue to build the company and the capabilities that we need in order for us to be successfully making this transition. But then also, as I mentioned, you know, with our most advanced candidates, to do the important IND enabling work in order for us to be able to get ready for that first clinical entry. And then ultimately, you know, clinical proof of concept, which will be very telling in terms of what our technology has the ability to do. I do think that we're onto something incredibly special. You know, maybe part of my job as a CEO of the company is to, you know, advocate for our technology. But I will also say, as a member of the rare disease community, I really can appreciate and embrace how this is a very different approach to tackling some of these, you know, really devastating challenges. And I really think that this has an opportunity to bring forward innovation, especially to patients that may otherwise not benefit from innovation at all. And I think that's the most meaningful thing that really drives me and my team every single day.
Okay, definitely another interesting in-depth conversation there on everything you wanted to know about RNA, and in particular transfer RNA, and how useful it is. I guess it's time for me to go and pack yet again, although there's probably stuff in the suitcase that I didn't take out last time. I've got all my music ready, and hopefully everything else that I need, although you never know these days, sometimes you forget stuff. And a quick reminder to check out all the latest news and articles at labiotech.eu. And I hope wherever in the world you are, you have a great week ahead. Thanks for listening, and you'll join us next time for another Beyond Biotech.